So overwhelmed with the stress and pressure of the complicated business details surrounding the planning for a loved one to enter long-term care? Have you ever felt the pressure of being unprepared and faced with the final planning and arrangements for funeral or memorial services of a loved one? Have you ever been so overwhelmed by the details surrounding estate planning and estate settlements and so forth? If so, stay tuned to learn how you can be best prepared and have a plan when we find ourselves faced with the pressures of personal end-of-life challenges.
Welcome to Planning for Tomorrow. We take life's most difficult questions, concerns, and challenges and turn them into manageable nuggets of information so that you can make the best decisions when you are planning for tomorrow. You can contact us at pftradio@gmail.com. You can check us out on Facebook, Planning for Tomorrow Radio, or if you're calling from the local listening area, 304-399-8255, or long distance, 877-420-8255. Well, good morning and welcome to Planning for Tomorrow. Good morning, Gene. How are you?
I am fine, Fred, and you are also, I hope?
I am doing well. You make it through the vacation time so far?
Oh, yes. You know how it is. You come back from vacation and you need a vacation to recover from the vacation.
You absolutely do. I'm actually going to take some time this next week and
take
the girls out to the beach. So that's my first chance to get away.
That'll be lovely. I know you had two beautiful daughters, and they'll have a great time.
I do. Hey, I want to take just a couple minutes here, Gene, and tell our listeners some upcoming guests that we have. And one of the guests that we have is Rick Bieber. And Rick is a producer of a film, The Fifth Quarter, and it's based on a true story of a movie called The Fifth Quarter, and it's based out of Wake Forest, a tragedy that happened there. Some loss and grief and things like that. So he is actually the producer of that movie that's going to be here, and he'll be talking about that. And then we've got Sherry Williams-Tate, and she is also a book author talking about holiday help and grief and things like that. And then Colleen Ellis is coming along also. You'll be able to get all these dates on the website at pftradio.com. And Colleen Ellis also wrote a book called A Journey Through Unconditional Love and Grief. It talks about pet parents. And so we don't always think about the people who are really close to their animals and losing them. So that's one of the things we want to talk about also. And then another guest that we've got coming that we're pretty excited about is Jack Lechner. Now, a lot of you listening may not know who Jack Lechner is, but Jack Lechner is the director of all funeral operations for Arlington National Cemetery in Arlington, Virginia. And it's interesting, when I was talking to them and we was getting this scheduled for the show to have them come on in the future, they were telling us they have at least 25 to 30 funerals a day in Arlington Cemetery. So,
and they would all be veterans.
All be veterans. So so we've got we've got a pretty good lineup ahead of us.
That'll be very interesting to hear about the maybe even the history of... I know, listeners, excuse us for a minute. We're having a little technical difficulty here, and it's totally my fault because I reached over to adjust my volume, and my finger caught something. I've done something here, Ernie, that I'm not hearing properly in my headphones.
That's all right.
Okay. Ernie comes just pushes one little button. I push the wrong one.
And my wife says I'm good at pushing that one button, too.
Uh-oh.
I don't know what that's all about. But
anyway, but you were saying...
We were talking about the upcoming guests, and Jack Lechner with Arlington National Cemetery. Going to be very... Got a lot of good guests ahead of us here, and we've actually got a great guest in the studio with us today.
We've
got Kevin West, and Kevin is the executive pastor at Christ Temple Church here in Huntington. And he is also the president of Kevin West Ministries, and he's author of a new book, Living a Transformed Life. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Fred. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, Kevin. Nice to have you.
Glad to be here again.
Okay.
Want to talk a little bit this morning, Kevin. Felt like that your book really has a lot of things that it can help people with. And let's talk a little bit about the journey that you got to write the book. And some things, because, you know, I think a lot of people listening today think they may have it together, think they may have things going in the right direction. Then there's a lot listening that maybe they're going, you know, how do I get out of this? I'm dealt this card that has got me in a spot, and this is just how it's going to be for me the rest of my life. How do I get from this point to a new level in my life? And I think maybe you can share some insight to our listeners.
Well, I certainly can understand that question pretty well because I've kind of experienced some of that myself. You know, there was a time when I felt like I had it all together, you know, several years ago when I was a young, aggressive, immature man. It was trying to learn my way through. And I thought I had it all together until I realized life circumstances and decisions and choices that I was making weren't leading me where I really needed to go.
Right.
They weren't bringing the peace that I needed and the joy in my life. But, you know, financially I was doing well. But mm-hmm. in reality, life wasn't happening the way it should be for me. Well, I went through an entire transformation process. I had an encounter with me.
Wow, those are some of the toughest encounters sometimes. Yeah. You know, we think an encounter with God is great, but an encounter with me sometimes is it's an awakening, isn't it?
Yeah, when you begin to look at yourself objectively, that's a really a tough place. It's sobering. And when I begin to look at myself objectively as a young man, as a husband and a father, I realized that there was some changes that needed to be made, and I didn't know how to make those changes. And it was prompted by my wife. My wife pointed out some of those changes that I needed to make, and when she did, I finally listened. You know, after a while, you know, your heart kind of gets hard after a while because you begin to feel like you're not being understood or heard.
Right.
And then the Lord just kind of opened up my heart to hear one day when I really was open to see what I had become, which was totally different than what I was raised and,
right.
you know, the upbringing and the value system that I had as a kid. So the world just kind of takes you down a different road, and your influences of life help, and relationships that you have in your life help determine some of those choices that you make when you get to that place of life to make them.
Don't you think sometimes that when you're in that position to where you feel like, you said, you've got everything going financially, it seems like we've got a lot of things right at our hands, mm-hmm. but our family is noticing maybe a change in our life, a change in our personality, that we're not the person that our wife married,
right.
maybe, or, you know, we're not the dad that the kids maybe knew. You know, something's changed.
Absolutely. Priorities become completely out of whack, I call it. You know, it just goes from a different direction. What was once important to you, what was once a high priority to you,
right.
Really kind of becomes rearranged, and really what becomes the high priority is our own agenda.
Right.
And it's really self-absorbing. Self-reliant, self-centered, mm-hmm. and it's all based on self. And when I realized I had become selfish, which I wasn't growing up, I realized that, well, I've got to make some changes here. I didn't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, though, that the only way I could make that was it had to have a heart change first.
Absolutely.
So when I had that encounter with myself and realized, oh, gosh, this has got to change, I knew who to call to. And I called out to the Lord. And then I had an encounter with Him, and subsequently to have an encounter with me. And when I had an encounter with Him, I saw all of my humanity, and then I was beginning to experience all of His divinity. And then I realized I can change humanity in me by exchanging it for Him.
Right.
And
when that wasn't something we could do on our own, or you could do on your own.
And it wasn't a matter of it's not modifying behavior.
Right.
I realized that
way beyond psychological and
it's not mentalist sin. It's not mind over matter. It's not doing better.
Right.
I needed new, and I didn't need to be improved. I needed a complete transformation. And I surrendered it to Him, and at that moment, even though growing up I thought I had already done that, in reality I just had a close association with Him.
Wow!
But I never really had an encounter where it really transformed me in exchanging my life for His.
Don't you think that's probably one of the biggest misconceptions that all of us probably have? Is we think because we're a Christian, or that really we just have this, I guess a very minute encounter with God. And it's an encounter, and we consider ourselves to be a Christian,
mm-hmm.
but it's not an encounter deep enough to maybe change our personality, change the way we do things. We continue to do things the way that we've always done, but we feel like that, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I think that's me. That was me growing up, and I know a lot of people that way even today. We just incorporate Him in our life, and He becomes a part, but in reality, He's not looking to be a part of our life. He really desires to live His life through ours. And when I started learning that process, and it's not an easy process, and it doesn't happen just overnight. You know, it's a lifelong learning process, and transformation isn't just something that happens instantly. It is a process.
Yeah. Let's take just a quick break, and we'll be right back with Kevin West. You're listening to 94.1 Super Talk Radio and AM 930 WRVC. And when we took a break, we were talking to Pastor Kevin West, and he's the author of the book Living a Transformed Life, and giving some insight as to some things that may be helpful to others from your journey. And Kevin, let's talk just a little bit about there's people that are listening today. Of course, this show is about end of life, and of course, it's always refreshing to have someone like you to come on the show and talk about a life experience and how we get from a bad place in our life to a better place in our life. And there's people listening today that may be going through some life crises, maybe divorce, could be loss of a job, could be a loss of a loved one. Most of the people listening today are going to be ones that are listening because of the show's content of loss. So let's talk a little bit about that and give some insight as to what you can tell folks about that.
Well, I think once you find yourself in a position that whether you have maybe created it yourself by decisions that you made, or you've experienced a loss or find yourself in a jam that you didn't create and you can't really explain, regardless of how you got there, you're there. And there are so many different types of emotional cries that go out, from anger to frustration to, you know, pity. And you go through all these different types of emotions, and they're actually normal to go through those emotions. And it's, instead of trying to set them off to the side and say, hey, you know what, I really can't feel that way. I'm not supposed to feel that way. In reality, you have to let that process work.
Yeah.
And what I'm experiencing and what I'm learning, and it happened through my journey, was when you're in a because we experienced a friend of mine that's in that book. His name is Don. Don came in my life at a time where I really didn't, you know, I knew a little bit about the Bible, and I had read it all the way through, actually. Mm-hmm. And Don had come in my little store and began to teach me things that I had no idea that were there. And it came at a time when my life and my heart was open to receive him, because I was going through so much trials and tribulations and uncertainty. And my heart was open to receive him. So when he came in, so he was in my life for a season, and then he passed away just a few years ago. And I experienced that loss.
Mm-hmm.
And Don was an incredible gift to me. And I had to go through all those different emotions as well. But I also realized that the emotions are real, and it's okay to experience those things.
Mm. Kevin, you shared with us your own transforming experience, and I'm wondering, a lot of people think or expect to receive some kind of an epiphany, you know, mm-hmm. almost a bright light coming down from heaven. Did that happen with you, or was this a gradual realization that you really wanted to transform your life?
Well, I'm still looking for the light, because I'm following it. It wasn't an instant moment, and I did not have a
journey.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean.
I do.
People sometimes
Absolutely.
Expect that.
And I believe sometimes it probably does happen in some people's life. They're fortunate enough to have that moment, and it did not happen to me. I had a moment of what I call a pivot moment, where I completely turned,
mm-hmm.
and I realized that this is the end of this direction, and I'm going to have to go another.
Right.
And when
right.
I did that and I made up the decision, I had to sever some relationships that were in my life at that point that were very difficult to do, because they were very dear and close to me.
Yeah, that's tough.
And when I did that, I realized I couldn't live both lives. I couldn't mm-hmm. live both worlds. I had tried that, and it didn't work, and you vacillate back and forth. And
right.
there's
yeah.
no way of being able to do both ways.
And was it after you had that pivot moment that you later on then felt the call to the ministry?
I did. It was very shortly thereafter, because what was happening, I believe the Lord began to just kind of bring people across my path
mm-hmm.
that I was forced to share my story with, but also that needed to hear what I had to say. And I wasn't trying to teach them. I only was expressing what I was feeling and what I was experiencing. So I don't claim to be an expert in any of this, but I do know that I've experienced some things that have been helpful to people. So I just share my understanding and revelation of Christ, and then I share it with them and help it relate to where they are in their particular walk with life. And what I'm finding is that from a very early age, even way before I had that moment of pivot, I realized that God had his hand on my life, even as a young kid, for that particular purpose. That's to share that.
A lot of people use the expression being born again. Is that how you would describe your particular experience?
I think there's only one way to. You have to be born again. And I think that anybody. See, I think what happens a lot of times is that we hear about the Lord, about Christ, and we hear about him, and then we mentally say, oh, yes, I think I want to acknowledge that and believe that. But unless there is a conversion, unless your being, your conscience, your spiritual person, unless it awakens to a brand new divine nature, then there really isn't a born-again experience. It's not about making an older person. When I say older person, I'm talking about somebody that's born into the life of sin and the old sinful carnal nature. It's not about improving that nature. It's a matter of allowing Christ's new nature to come live inside of you.
To change you.
Absolutely. That's a born-again experience.
you know, you focused on something a minute ago that I thought was interesting, and it's just, it's natural, I think. A lot of people, you're talking about how we got there, you know, and it doesn't matter how we got there and the situation that we may be in. A lot of people want to, we're all guilty of it. We want to focus on, well, I wouldn't be in this situation if, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been here if, you know, and it really doesn't matter how you got there at right. that point. It's a matter of how am I going to get from this point to where I need to be to survive this thing,
right?
Or my whole life's going to become a shambles.
Absolutely,
on many levels.
You know, and I think initially, I think the Lord was kind of moving upon my life prior, even to the day I took the pivot. If I would have listened, mm-hmm. but I think I for months prior to that day of what I really believe was my turning point, I think that I was probably one of those people that really looked for every reason that I wasn't the real reason the problem was there. And I was looking for, I became a victim of my own circumstance.
Right.
And as long as you stay in that victim place and you begin to see other people as the reason and the blame, it's very difficult to get out of that until you just accept responsibility, even if you didn't cause it. Mm-hmm. The best thing to do is just say, you know what, I'm here and I can wallow in this thing. I can lay here, but I've got to just get up. And I was just talking to somebody just recently that they had gone through a divorce, and the divorce was just tragic, and it was just something they had really had nothing to do with. It was a devastation, and they have been living in that place of, it's been grief, it's just awful, it's just terrible. And until they come to the realization is that there is something still better for me, I can still experience peace, I can experience joy, unless they're willing to embrace something brand new, they're going to continue to stay right where they are.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult, it's not an easy thing, and I don't certainly minimize the pain that they go through. But I think it's a decision you have to make and a choice you have to make yourself vulnerable for the new things that God has for you.
Don't you have to be kind of, I hear a lot of people that will tell me, especially surrounding the loss of a loved one, they'll say, you know, and this will be months afterwards, they'll say, you know, I was just hoping that someone would, a friend or somebody would just come up and say something to me because I wanted to talk about something. I wanted someone to kind of share something insightful with me because I was in a dark place in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that one person, a total stranger, showed up and said something to me that really turned me a different direction. Was that kind of what happened to you with this Dawn, this friend of yours you're talking about?
What happened was I had my pivot moment where I had the encounter with me and then had the encounter with God. And then just a few months, I mean, it was just really not even 2 months later, I was in a completely different place. I was working in a place that I had bought a grocery store. And Don came in one day, and he was just looked like a bum. I mean, the guy just—he was smelled. It was just terrible. And he asked for some credit. And my Bible was open up on the counter, and I said, "Well, sure, you can have some credit." And you know, you could hardly even stand to, you know, talk to him or smell. And he looked at my Bible and he says, "Are you getting anything good out of that?" And I said, "Yeah, it's all good." And then he turned the Bible around, and in about 15 minutes, he went from Genesis to Revelation, and he showed me Christ in the Bible.
Wow.
And all the, when he did that, he did it so gently with such love, and his tears was coming down his eyes, and I could feel something in my heart burning in me, going, I got to have this, what this guy's got. Mm-hmm. And over the next 2 years, he and I became very good friends. And here he was in his mid to late 70s at that time, and here I was just a young man. Mm-hmm. And he came in and became like a mentor to me and began to show me and extract truths from the Bible that I had never. It went from being Bible stories that I could quote and tell to being living in life,
wow,
working in me.
Things you could use.
What caused him to be in such a situation, though?
He had went through a divorce several years ago.
But that was the divorce that caused it, okay.
And he had never really recovered from that at that time. Mm-hmm. And lived in a shack that didn't even have running water. Mm. But let me tell you what happened. Over the next 2 years, you know, he taught me and grew me. But what happened was I watched how he transformed. I never mentioned in 2 years his appearance, his hygiene, didn't mention any of that. But over the next 2 years of relationship, I watched how God transformed him, because he'd come in and I noticed he cut his hair. And next thing I know, he's changing clothes. He's bathing regularly. And now I've got him delivering groceries to the high rise. And next thing you know, he's moving into the high rise. And he's having Bible studies with a lot of the older folks in town. And I watched, and I never mentioned a word to him. So as he was ministering to me, I was ministering back to him, didn't even realize it.
So there was two transformations going,
absolutely,
on there, you know,
yeah,
from two complete strangers originally.
Right. And it all happened through relationship.
Wow. And that's key in everything we do in life is relationship. If you don't have a relationship with friends, with your minister, with people you go to church with people you work with, if you've got a poor relationship, naturally you're going to live a depressed life in a lot of cases.
Yeah, and especially with your type of business, you see that as much as anybody. And what we do as a pastor, we see that. You know, the isolation, the loneliness, the disconnectedness that people really feel a lot of times when they're going through a difficult time of life, it's even more difficult when you have no one that's really close to you that can, well, you know, typically what we would do as preachers, we want to fix everybody.
Yeah.
So when we get in a relationship with somebody, we're talking in a crisis, we're trying to fix them in their situation.
Right.
But in true relationship and community with people, you don't really have to have all the answers. You just have to have your presence, and there just has to be a trust between the two of you. And you walk this thing out together.
That's the key right there, is that trust and walking that together. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people are walking it alone.
Right.
And they feel like the trust has been broken along the way, maybe in certain instances in their lives. So therefore, they don't trust anybody.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's not only when somebody is going through a loss of a family member or loss of a job or something, but I hear it frequently said that as people get older, they retire and they lose contact with friends, or they don't have anything to do. And that is really detrimental, not only to their psyche, but to their physical health.
Yeah, that happened. That's what I saw happen with Don. Don became so isolated because he became retired, he became older, and he became a recluse. Then we end up having him deliver groceries, and he meets a whole new friend, and now the life becomes again.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Kevin, I hope you can stay for the next half hour of the show. Love to have you and talk a little bit more about your book, Living a Transformed Life. And we're going to tell everybody exactly how they can get a copy of that book if they'd like to also. And, Gene, good.
Well, let's go ahead and take a news and weather break. And then it's good that Kevin's staying with us. This is a Viewpoint and Planning for Tomorrow. So.
And we are back to Planning for Tomorrow. And in the studio with us, we have Kevin West, and he's the author of Living a Transformed Life. And when we left, we were talking about a lot of different issues, but we had talked about a chapter in the book that's talking about Dawn. There's another chapter in the book, Chapter 7, I want to kind of get into just a little bit, talking about, and I think this is real important, how to select friends or selecting friends wisely.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about that, what a true friend, and this chapter of the book, how you kind of went with that.
Well, you know, you have to make yourself, the Bible says, make yourself friendly if you want friends.
That's true.
And so the first thing you have to do is you have to be willing to open yourself up and become vulnerable in relationship. And that means, you know, you may get hurt. Mm-hmm. Somebody may, you know, betray you, and there may be in your life for a season, and you open yourself up and, you know, and they hurt you.
And that's tough for a lot that's been betrayed, because that's the first thing that we automatically do. When we're betrayed by someone, we say, you know what, I'm not going to, that'll... How many times have we heard someone say, I'll never marry again. I was in a bad marriage, and I will never do that again. Mm-hmm. You know, many times. And then, you know, as life goes on and some healing begins, we might find them dating again, and, you know, you just kind of grin. You don't say anything, but, you know, you kind of grin and go, okay, you know, that's the same person that said they weren't going to do it again. But sometimes we've got to make ourselves get in an uncomfortable zone or uncomfortable spot, which would be, if we've been hurt, to now open ourselves up, that vulnerability you was talking about again.
Yeah, I think if you've never been betrayed, you probably haven't had very many friends.
That's right.
Because in my experience, Jesus is our example. I mean, you know, here he is with, you know, has 12 close ones, and one of them betrayed him.
Yeah,
so if it happened to Jesus, it's probably going to happen to us.
Yeah.
And he didn't change. I mean, he didn't, you know, the same culture, the same relationship that Jesus gave out, it wasn't about him receiving, it was about what he gave. Mm-hmm. So if our relationships with people in our community, family members, what at work relationships, what have you, and you're not going to have 100 close friends, but you are going to have some acquaintances, but you do need some close people that are around you that speak truth into your life, that you open yourself up for, that are able to speak objectively into you, not always correcting you, but really, really have your best interest for your future in mind. And if you open ourselves up, Jesus had the same culture that produced Peter, that was the guy that stood up on the day of Pentecost and proclaimed, was the same culture that produced a Judas.
Mm, yeah.
And if you'll remember, Jesus, or Peter tried to keep Jesus from the cross. But Judas led him to it. So sometimes the people that betray you, unfortunately, lead you to the place and purpose that God really has for you.
Right.
So you can't go through life guarding yourself from your Judases. You just have to go through life knowing, I'm going to be able to be friendly and I'm going to open myself and be vulnerable to the people that God has sent me. Because Jesus said in John chapter 19 or 17, he said, I didn't lose any of those you sent me. So it's not up to us to go find those friends. We have to trust that through our daily walk with God, that we become friendly, we open ourselves to be vulnerable, then God brings us those people in our life that we really couldn't make happen, and they're instant connections that we now cultivate and make sure that we bring the value to those relationships that we're supposed to.
So it's really not about how those, I mean, it is about how they may treat you and if mm-hmm. they betray you or something like that, but it's not really about that as much as it is how you react to that betrayal.
Right.
And what it makes you do next, mm-hmm. how it makes you respond next. And if you respond negatively or a withdrawal, that's definitely not a good direction we need to be going. Or if you take that and you kind of hone it and say, okay, this bad experience happened to me, so I'm going to turn it and I'm going to go this direction in my life with mm-hmm. it, and I'm going to help someone else, then that's kind of the way you need to kind of, I guess, gravitate.
Yeah, you can approach it. That's a way to approach it. What I've experienced and what I have learned and what I see happen and in a lot of people's lives is that it really isn't about how much we receive. See, if you're vulnerable, you get hurt if you really put requirements on people for you. And if I put expectations on you, then I'm expecting something from you. Then I may get hurt if you don't come through. Right. But it really is about what I can pour into you. It's about giving out in relationship more so than it is about receiving. If it's about receiving only, you're going to get hurt because everybody's going to offend you. Somebody's always going to let you down.
Right.
Somebody's always going to betray you. Someone's always going to say something they shouldn't. But if it's about really loving that person and that genuine, heartfelt God love that comes from him to us, then we start overlooking some of the faults that people have. And even if they betray us, there's some great compassion that we have towards them. Even in an ex-wife, ex-husband situation, I know many cases that the ex-wife or the ex-husband still has this great compassion for this ex, because they realize that, you know what, they haven't made the right decisions, but I can't hold that against them because it's going to paralyze me and keep me right where I am.
Right, because that's what it ends up doing, is paralyzing a person.
I always think that there's really three levels of friendship. Mm-hmm. I think there's acquaintances, and mm-hmm. that's the biggest circle. Mm-hmm. And then there's friends, and that's the smaller circle. And then there's really close friends.
Yeah.
It's the smallest circle of all.
Yeah.
But I think you have to be careful how you choose any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I Jesus had that same, that's a biblical principle that you just said. He had the 70 and the ones out here, and then he had the 12, and then he had the 3. Mm-hmm. And he had the ones that even were closer. And one thing I've taken the pressure off myself is that I used to think I was responsible for choosing the ones I picked, but I'm realizing that God brings those across our path just by putting desires in our heart to be in certain places and certain times. If God brings me here at the radio station, or he takes me to the church or to the grocery store, and I'm constantly friendly, and I'm making myself friendly, and I'm making myself open, and I'm sensitive to what God is doing, he can bring friendships in your life that you weren't even looking for if you'll just make yourself open to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how many of us think, oh, we've got our circle of friends that we need,
mm-hmm.
and you know, our four and no more, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, when in fact, you know, if we were more friendly and more open, you know, that God could be directing us in to that friend that really could help us through something that's going to happen maybe in our future,
mm-hmm.
That would really be that person that could take us and be there for us when we go through some big trial.
It has to be a two-way street.
It has to be a two-way street.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. But you're right, Gene. I think it's very important, you know, on all those levels. That's a good way of looking at it, the acquaintances, friends, and close friends.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be careful about even the acquaintances, you know.
Yeah, because they're going to influence your decisions.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we see lots of people in what we do find themselves in situations that they didn't want to be in, and they never intended to be in the jam they're in.
Right.
And then they look back and they go, wow, I met this person, and then, you know, we begin to think this because your friendships and relationships help determine what you believe, how you see.
Right.
And then your behavior and actions follow that.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you're going, how did I get here? Well, if you trace it back, it typically is because the associations that we had
mm-hmm.
had a common thinking process.
Absolutely.
That really pondered for a while and said, you know what, why don't we do this? And then we begin to think alike or think a certain way, and then we follow those things. Before you know it, we've got some consequences to those actions.
They influence our thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we become a team player, I guess, to a certain extent,
yeah.
of a team that we probably shouldn't be on.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, when Kevin was telling us a story about Don, how Don came into the store
mm-hmm.
so disheveled and smelly and nasty, and most of us would turn away from someone like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's a lesson in you shouldn't judge by a person's appearance.
Shouldn't. No, you shouldn't. I mean, no, you should not. You learned that. Big time.
Well, you know what? I was so selfish for so many years as a young adult, and it was about me. And when I really had that pivot moment with God and myself, I realized that it wasn't about what I could get. It was about what I could give. Mm-hmm. So he needed something that day. And, you know, I was going to make myself vulnerable. I didn't know if he was ever going to pay it back. And it really doesn't matter to me because I went from one pendulum to the other. I was so selfish on one hand, then I went to giving everything away. It didn't matter to me. Yeah. You know, I didn't care. It was all of God's, and let's just give it away. So when he came in, I realized I had something to give him. But when he turned the Bible around, I recognized, and I've come to understand that those moments that God brings people in your life like that is for an exchange of life, mm-hmm. and a realization of who God's life runs through them. So,
it was interesting when you said you felt like just give it all away.
Yeah.
Because it brings up another viewpoint in that God expects us to take care of what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
Be good stewards.
He does. Mm-hmm. He wants us to, be good stewards, be faithful over what he's given us. And when you realize, though, it's not yours, it's his, and you're just, you have the power of attorney,
yeah.
Then he'll realize that...
That's the ultimate power of attorney.
That is the ultimate power of attorney.
That's a good segue into our show, wasn't it?
Absolutely,
yes.
We need to take that break.
The ultimate power of attorney. Mm-hmm. Let's take a quick commercial break. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Super Talk Radio, 94.1 FM, AM 930. And we are back to Planning for Tomorrow. And in the studio we have Kevin West, author of Living a Transformed Life. And Kevin, you know, we've been talking about some really interesting things here. And I want to take just a few minutes and kind of ask you, you know, you're the executive pastor at Christ Temple Church here in Huntington. What all's going on at church? And let's talk about some things going on there that maybe you can share with us that we can tie into all this.
Well, you know, good things are happening. Life is being exchanged. We were experiencing just coming off of a fresh youth camp last week. We had ministered in the church this past Sunday and Monday, ministering to our kids all last week, but Sunday and Monday at the church. We baptized in Sunday and Monday, the combined total of about 130 people in the last weekend.
That's a lot of baptisms.
That is a lot of baptisms. And I tell you what, they're people that they're very sincere, and they're many of them have, the majority of them probably are first time ever, you know, coming into the knowledge of God. Mm-hmm. And they're at a place in their life where they've many addiction problems. I mean, there's a lot of people that are coming to the church right now that are having some addiction. Some pain.
They're seeking a transformed life. They're seeking something better than what they've had. The lifestyle they had's not been working.
Right. You know, and I think that's something that we probably misunderstand sometimes as a society, because we look at people and we see people in bad conditions and situations, mm-hmm. and we see them, and it obviously is results of choices that we have made and they have made. But yet, rather than look at them and say, "Hey, you know what? You reap what you sow," which obviously we know that scripture, we really need to look at them with compassion because they really don't want to be that way.
Right.
They want free. They're really sure crying out for something that they really don't even know what they're crying out for. And what I have discovered, whether it be somebody on the street or in a white collar high professional position, the prescription drug problem, it's no respecter of persons.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
And what happens, and same way with alcoholism. I mean, I know people that are in substance abuse issues. They're drinking, and they don't want to drink, but they find themselves in that place, and they're looking for an answer. And really, there's several different options out there. There's some great programs that are in our community that can offer, you know, some great solutions. AA, NA, I know all those work. But really, I believe that what God is going to do these last days, and I do think he's doing it at our church, and I think he's doing it at other churches as well, he's raising up a group of believers and people that truly do have the solution and the answer to see people totally free. And we're seeing people come off those drugs. It's happening regularly. I just talked to a guy Wednesday night. It's happening. So 130-plus baptisms. And it's a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, it is.
I hear a lot of churches bemoaning the fact that their congregation numbers are dropping. Obviously, mm-hmm. yours are growing, and some others are growing too. But what is it that you're doing there at Christ Temple that is causing this to happen?
Well, I don't know that we're actually causing it to happen as opposed to yielding and allowing it to happen. God wants to do it everywhere. And his heart's desire is to move in every church and every family and every business. It's his desire. But I think a lot of times we wrestle with him. You know, I used to think this, and only recently have I made this transition in my mind. I used to think in churches, in church settings, that God wanted to be, you know, he wanted to be in the audience and we were the host, so we just hosted him as in the audience. I've come to realize that he really wants to host. And if we allow him to be in control and in authority and allow, see, it's not, here's what we're doing, God, bless it. We really need to know what God is doing so we can just jump in and see what he's doing and join in with him. And he's about people. And he's about loving people. He's about bringing people out of captivity and bringing them into the knowledge of who he is. He's been misrepresented all across the country, and we've clergy included, have misrepresented him. We've made him something he's not. Mm-hmm. And I've come to realize God is good all the time, and God is good regardless if I'm good or not. I used to think that because if I'm good, God's good. No, God's good even if I'm not good. And I think there's people raising up, and I think it's happening at our church specifically too, that people are raising up with really knowledge of who he really is that can accurately represent him and represent him to the people that are hurting.
And of course, at Christ Temple, I'm sensing here that you not only help people on the spiritual level,
mm-hmm.
but you help them on their everyday problem. You mentioned about addiction,
mm-hmm.
and helping them to overcome things.
Yes. Ultimately, it's all spiritual.
Yeah.
It obviously carries out in the emotional level and the soulish area and the body as well. We want people in healthy and in shape. We want all a complete transformation, just not. But it has to start inside out. You know, it's not an outside-in process, it's an inside-out process. So when God changes a heart, he gives you his heart, and then he begins to want us to renew our mind and transform the way we think. And if we can get our mind thinking like he thinks, and it lines in congruency with our heart and his heart, then the outward flow and the behavior just follows that natural order.
Right. You know, Gene, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I've been raised my whole life a pastor's son myself.
Oh, I didn't.
My dad
I did
was a pastor. Yeah, so I've been in church world my entire life since I was a little boy, and that's one of the questions that we've had over the years. You know, we would have conversations and say, you know, why is our church just not growing? Why is this church not growing? And you know, sometimes I think, and I don't want to get into a debate, but I think sometimes we are guilty of creating a religious social club sometimes.
Hey,
and when we have that religious social club, maybe those drug addicts and maybe those ones that are having those problems aren't necessarily always, we say they're welcome, but they're not always made to feel welcome. You know, there's that, we haven't extended that olive branch or extended that, mm-hmm. that welcome out, and that's going to affect your growth. I mean, you know, it's going to be a select group at some point, because the message that's maybe, may not be a message that you have to have in a radio commercial or a billboard, but maybe just the message of the congregation of being friendly.
Friendship, yes.
Friendship that we were talking about a minute ago. And if that's not happening out in the grocery mm-hmm. store, if that's mm-hmm. not happening, you know, where you're getting your car repaired and mm-hmm. things like that, mm-hmm. nobody's going to be attracted to that.
Yeah. And I think there's a generation gap here. I've noticed that a lot of people who were very ardent churchgoers maybe back in the 50s and 60s, they're passing on now, mm-hmm. and then there seemed to me that there was a several years gap when people were not going to church. Now it's coming back, but there's that gap time in there. Maybe that has an influence on the number of people who are in churches.
Yeah, I think that the Lord's not making a mistake when he has these people build these buildings all over. There's churches all over the city of Huntington.
Right.
I think they're going to be filled very soon. I think they're going to see a great, you know, influx of people. But you know, I like what you said. You know, religious club. I've come to appreciate. I don't think God's opposed. I think God appreciates religious clubs.
Sure.
He just didn't want us to confuse it with the real thing. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's the real issue. And I think God is okay with entertainment.
Sure.
He just didn't want us to confuse it with worship.
Exactly.
You know. So I think that what we've done is we've kind of made an either or. We just don't want to confuse the authentic for something that's counterfeit.
Right.
And God is bringing the authentic back to the people. And there's a heartbeat of people all across the land today that really aren't, they don't have a taste for the counterfeit, but they know what it is.
Right.
And they want that genuine relationship with God and him accurately unveiled to them. And you know, just like it would be my wife, if you said to me, hey, you know, I saw your wife down here and she was really talking about you. And I would say, no, there's no way, Fred. I know her. I would not have to sit here and debate you for that, because it wouldn't matter what you said. I know that on the inside of
me. You know that you wouldn't be doing it.
There's a generation of people that know God, and they know who Christ is, and they understand him. And they know he's not only his actions, but they know his ways. So when somebody comes and misrepresents him, they go, no, that's not him. That's not what the Bible says. He's not bad. We don't have to be suspicious of him. He's good.
Right.
So when somebody represents him and articulate something different than what they really truly know, they just shut them out. And I think what we're seeing is God's raising up a generation of people that truly know who he is.
In other times, the word revival mm-hmm. has been used, and it seems to me that with the way this country is going, with the way the world is going, yeah. not just the United States, you think maybe it's time for a revival, and of course we can't bring it about. God right. has to bring about.
He does, and it's really people that are willing to yield and change the way we see things. So our mindsets, our transitions, and paradigms change. You know, revivals, I went back and studied this out. Revivals, the best revivals in our country, and not only our country but other countries as well, the best revivals, have the most they last is about 4 years. Okay, that's a great one. But really what we need is an awakening. The first awakening lasted about 30 years. The second great awakening lasted 50 or 60 years, and maybe even longer. And what awakenings do, they not only wake up the church with a fresh perspective of Christ, it then transcends into the society and cultural and legal laws change. People, you know, things begin to happen in society that really we would like to see happen, that free people and bring them into a greater level of responsibility and understanding. So really what I think was happening, revival is a wonderful thing. It'll be a short term. We all should be experiencing that in our lives. But I think what you're going to see happen, and I think we're right now beginning on the fringe of this, I think it's already beginning, is an awakening. Revivals last a few years. Awakening lasts generations.
That is so interesting. I'd never thought of it mm-hmm. that way.
No, I mean, when you think about it, you know, the revival really is it's kind of a short-term,
yeah.
a short-term fix. Like, I mean,
right.
you know,
right.
I mean,
we're going for
fix,
we need those are sprints. We need marathons.
Exactly, exactly. You need something that has some longevity to
yeah.
it. Is what we're saying.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's yeah. interesting. What else is going on at Christ Temple?
We got Perry Stone coming up next Wednesday. I don't
wow.
know if your listeners know Perry Stone, but
tell
Perry
a little
Stone.
Bit about Perry.
Perry's an international speaker that speaks a lot on the prophecy of end times and. Brings a relevant word. It talks a lot about Israel, Iran, what's happening over in the Middle East. Brings a very concentrated effort on how that applies to the United States. He talks about the elections and you know political landscape of how you know historically how you know things have happened and how patterns have shown through history of what God is doing and how it lines strictly up with the Bible. And if people are interested in that, he's going to be here next Wednesday, the 1st of August,
okay.
through that Sunday, the 5th. So there
first through the 5th.
There's services beginning Wednesday night at 7, and then he'll have a service on Thursday morning at 10, I believe. Then there's a service Thursday night at 7, Friday morning at 10, Friday night at 7, Saturday morning,
busy week.
Saturday night, and then all day on Sunday. We're going
wow.
to
really going to keep him busy, aren't
yes,
you?
We want to hear all he has to say.
He'll be exhausted, won't he?
Mm-hmm.
That'll be great. That'll be great. Well, I think you have given us a lot of insight here today.
We haven't told listeners how they can get a copy.
Yeah,
of
and that's.
Book.
I think we need to do that. Tell them how they can get a copy of your book.
Well, they can go to ChristTempleChurch.net, or you know, which is our church website has it on there, is available. You can also get it at my ministry website at KevinWest.org. They can pick it up. They can get it by ebook. Okay. Electronically, or they can get it the hard copy. We can send it. They can download it. You can get it on iTunes, Amazon, Barnes
oh, wow.
and Noble. All that's available, as well as the local Christian bookstores. As for Christian Mustard Seed has it.
Okay.
Guiding Light is carrying it, so you can get it locally as
it's
well.
Out there. Be sure and go pick up a copy of Kevin's book, Living a Transformed Life with Kevin West, and I think it'll definitely be a life-changing. A life-changing book for you. I mean, to give you some insight as to how you can be at one place in life and just. Having a different perspective and opening up to God a little bit can take you on a whole different journey to a whole new level in your life.
And when you come back in a couple of weeks' time, Fred, we're going to be talking with, Rick Bieber?
Yeah, Rick Bieber will be here with us. Yeah, he is the producer of the movie The Fifth Quarter, and he will actually be either in studio with us or on the phone. But that movie actually is a really interesting movie. It talks about a lot of things that we talk about on Planning for Tomorrow. So it's going to be good to have Rick along with us to give us some insight there.
It was nice to have Kevin this morning.
Kevin, great to have you.
Thank you very much.
And Gene, I want to make mention also that a lot of people are using our website, pftradio.com. Be sure and check that out. A lot of resources on there for you. And, gosh, it's been quite used. So
it's an excellent website.
It is.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good information on there. And, of course, all the shows are also podcast on there also.
All right. So good to be with you.
Good to be with you too, Gene. Take
all
care.
All right. Have a great weekend.
Your home of the Cincinnati Bengals and the National Football League. Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930. WRVC Huntington.